Thank you. Please be seated. If you would take your copies of God's Word, please, and open them to Luke chapter 21. Our text today, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, is the same, Luke 21, excuse me, in verses 5 through 38. Luke 21, beginning in verse 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" Excuse me. He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know this desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem would be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. What a tremendous blessing it is to us. You have seen fit to reveal yourself to us through your word, that you have given us instruction about our life. You've given us instruction about all things, even the things that are to be in the future. And Lord, help us as we consider these things to hear the words of our Savior. Lord, to listen to his voice. And Lord, that is our prayer this day, that we would hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. As we looked at this passage 2 weeks ago, I made the case that in this prophecy by Jesus, there is both a near-term and a far-term fulfillment of these events. In the near term, for the people in the first century, Jesus prophesied the coming destruction of Jerusalem and Israel and the great distress that was going to come upon that place. He told them about the end of the temple, about the end of Jerusalem, the literal end of the nation of Israel and the destruction that was coming upon them. But he also told us about the end of the age in this same prophecy. We talked last time about the near and far term fulfillment of prophecy. Even in many of the Old Testament prophecies, there's a near term fulfillment that applies to the people who hear it. And yet in that same prophecy, there is something generally out there in the future for all of us to hear. And it is very much the case here in what Jesus says. Jesus tells us about the events, terrible events, that are coming, that are going to precede his coming at the end of the age. And this tells us something. You must prepare for that. You must be ready for that, Jesus says. He said, you must live like that day is today. You must be ready for these things because they will come suddenly. There will be a rush of these things. And he warned the people in the first century not to go into Jerusalem, not to do the things that they thought would protect them. And that's exactly what they did, and much to their distress and their suffering. You know, we did talk last time, and just to mention briefly, that when we look at these things about the end times, the study of eschatology, the study of the last things, the majority report among evangelicals today is dispensationalism. But when we look at Jesus' eschatology, we see two ages. We see the present evil age, and we see the age to come. There's no indication in anything Jesus says of some intermediate time or some millennial kingdom or reign. The events of the age to come follow hard on the heels of this present evil age. And the singular event that separates those two ages is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus lays before us here today in this prophecy. He tells us about this age and the end of this age, and the thing that separates those two is his coming in glory. Now, last time I directed your attention to verses 8 and 9. You know, Jesus prophesied that there would be false messiahs who came after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. That's exactly what happened. Several rose up in Israel over time and drew followers to them and rebelled against Rome, all with tragic results. We've seen that in our own time. We've seen people who have gathered around them followers, people who themselves claim to be Christ, and it's always ended tragically for the people. Jesus said, don't be deceived by any of that stuff. And the reason is this. When Jesus comes, nobody is going to have to tell you he's here or there, because every eye will see him. It will be like lightning, Jesus says, that you see in the east and is seen in the west. Everyone will know that Jesus Christ has come. The disciples' question last time was, when will all these things happen? And Jesus' answer in verse 32, and again, I told you these prophecies are intermingled. It's not some nice orderly progression, first this and then that. You have to dig through these things. But in verse 32, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. He's talking about the people living there in Jerusalem, the disciples, the people he's talking to. And that's certainly what happened. Some of those very people were alive, the Apostle John for one, to see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and all the things that Jesus prophesied. But it is that very part of this text that sort of serves as a transition to the things in the future. Jesus said these things will happen. Jerusalem will be trampled down, be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles come to an end, the times appointed to the Gentiles. He's talking about the time appointed for the salvation of the Gentiles, of the nation. In fact, in verse 25, some translations use the word then, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The end of verse 24, then there will be signs in the moon and the sun and the stars and so forth. So Jesus is saying that at the end of this time, at the time appointed, we confess that this morning, when all the elect are called to Christ, that's going to be the end. Then these things will happen. And that really transitions us into what Jesus tells us about the future. And Luke tells us here in his account of Jesus' words on this occasion that there will be signs in the heavenly bodies, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. Martin Bucer says that the meaning of Jesus' words here is that the striking and shaking of the foundations of the heavens will be so great that people will believe that the very stars are falling. You know, this is the tremendous upheaval in the cosmos that attends the coming of Christ. As Christ is preparing to come, there are going to be these great events, and not just restricted to the heavens. Luke says there will be this tossing and surging of the sea. Now, you know, the sea many times in Scripture refers to the nations or to the Gentiles. It could also refer to, you know, things in nature, not global warming, things in nature. As little as you think about it, if the moon was moved slightly out of its orbit, the effect upon the tides on the earth would be tremendous. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be. We don't need to engage in speculation. The Lord told us what we need to know. We don't need to speculate about these things. But what he does say is that men will be struck with terror at that time. Terror will fill the hearts of people when they see these signs. And little as you think about it, think about Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. The mountain quaked and shook. The mountain was covered with thick smoke because God descended on the mountain with fire. And we read in the book of Hebrews that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. And all the people were afraid to hear the word of God. They were afraid to hear the voice of God. So tremendous were the signs that accompanied God descending there to give the word to his people. And what about the resurrection? When Jesus Christ arose from the dead that Sunday morning, there was a tremendous earthquake. The stone was rolled away. There were guards there, hardened Roman soldiers. And the scripture says they became like dead men. They were paralyzed with fear at what they saw. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of the grave. And if you think about it, how much greater will it be when every eye in the whole world sees the Lord descending from heaven? What fear and terror will that strike into the hearts of most of the people in this world? But it's right there at that point in the text. that Jesus gives these precious words to believers, to his people. Jesus says, when you see all these things happening, when these terrible, unbelievable things happen, when it looks like the whole universe is collapsing, when the world and all the things that you regard as normal and orderly in this world are being disrupted, when, as Revelation chapter 6 says, when the generals and the mighty men and the leaders of nations, when all those people are hiding in the rocks and the caves, trembling because the Lord is coming, when the whole world is so frightened, Jesus says, when you see that, Christian, stand up. Stand up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. It's time. The thing that you've been waiting for is here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is the deposit, the guarantee of our inheritance. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession comes to be. We have that. We don't have to fear when these things happen. These things are good things for the Christian. And what should the Christian do? What should the believer do? You should pay attention. Jesus gives us this little parable about the fig tree, and about all the trees, he says. That is so straightforward that everybody should be able to understand that, especially at living our part of the world. Now, there may be parts of the world where there are no seasons, but people who live in Alabama know what this means. When you're walking in your yard or driving down the road at the end of winter, and all of a sudden you see little bits of color on those branches that were so gray and dead looking for the last number of months, you know what? Spring's coming and summer can't be far behind. It's as plain as it can be. Jesus says, that's what you need to do. When you see these things happening, lift up your head. Don't be afraid. This is not going to be any more threatening to you than the fact that wintertime's over, spring's coming, summer's coming. It's a great thing, especially if after you've grown tired of winter. In the winter of this life, and when things are beating you down, and it's so gray and dead and cold, all of a sudden there is this hope. Our redemption, our Savior has come for us. What a great thing for the Christian that is. What should we do? What should we do in that case? How many people ignore these things? How many people in Jerusalem did exactly the opposite of what Jesus said? When the Romans came, they all went into the city. We talked about that last time. They crowded in there by the thousands. They ended up torturing and killing and even eating their own children. So great was the distress. That's what Jesus says. It will be a terrible time for nursing mothers to have your baby ripped away from you by gangs and eaten, because so terrible is the distress in there. They didn't do what Jesus said. Jesus said, get out of there. How many people today miss the signs? How many miss the word? How many miss the warning? Well, this will never happen to us. How many people in Jerusalem said that very thing? This is not going to happen. This is the city where the temple of God is. Nothing bad is going to actually ever happen here. How many people in America think, well, this is a godly nation, a Christian nation. None of those things are ever going to come upon us. Fools. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. Will. But my words will never pass away. These things are going to happen. But the things I'm telling you, Jesus said, they're going to be sure. You can count on that. So what do we need to do? What do you, as a Christian, need to do? Jesus says plainly right here, be careful. First thing they do is exercise care that you're not weighed down with these things. The world, the flesh, and the devil are your enemies, and they are always looking for an opening to drag you down. Jesus says, be careful. Your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation. That's a word that means basically riotous living. It also means excessive entertainment. And if there's a word that applies to the place and time in which we live, that's it. Entertainment is the name of the game. They are constantly working and perfecting ways to distract you with more entertainment, more choices, more fantasy. They call them reality now, but it's fantasies. These things that are not the truth of life. And people escape into those things. People escape into video games and YouTube and, you know, movies and TV shows. They become one with the people in the show that aren't even real. It's an escape from reality. It's a flight of fancy. Jesus says, stay away from that. Watch out for that. Watch out for drunkenness, he says. We could add drug addiction to that in our day. Because if there's an escape from reality, that's it. You can become so enslaved to alcohol and drugs that you don't care about reality. You don't care about truth. Jesus says, be careful. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to some degenerate here on the street. He's talking to his people. Be careful or you will be weighed down with these things. Be careful about the anxieties of life. This touches everyone. Everyone, everywhere. Because we're anxious about these things. We got to have the latest electronic device. We have to have certain kinds of clothes. We have to be in style. We have to be accepted by people. These are the anxieties of life, and between the advertisements, between peer pressure, between the things that press upon you daily in life, these things weigh you down. You have to look a certain way, act a certain way, watch certain shows, go certain places, or you're not with it. Jesus said, be careful. You don't really want to be with it. You want to be away from it, kind of like being away from Jerusalem. Be careful. Be careful about these things. So how do we avoid those? How do we avoid those as Christians? Very simple, Jesus says. Watch and pray. Watch. Watch out. Be alert. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, let us not be like others who are asleep. We could say, let us not be like others who are weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Paul continues, he said, let's be alert and self-controlled. Be awake. Pay attention to this stuff. Because Christians get sucked up into this stuff just like other people. They get ensnared in these things. They get so caught up in these things, they don't have time for God. Don't have time for reading the Word. Don't have time for prayer. Don't have time for church. Don't have time for anything that God asks them to do. They got plenty of time because they want to be acceptable in the world and fit in all the little boxes the world says we got to check off. Be careful about that. How do we do that? How can we resist these things? I mean, these things press on you 24 hours a day. Radio, TV, internet, other people. You can't drive down the road without seeing a billboard. I mean, these things are always pressing in on you. How do you escape that? By prayer. To paraphrase the author of Hebrews, you need to pray for grace. Pray for grace to lay aside the things that weigh you down. Pray for grace to escape the sin that so easily entangles you. Pray for grace to throw off everything that interferes with your preparation to meet the Lord. Because these things are coming. You have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ on it. They're coming. This idea that we're just going to go along merrily down our life and, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory till the end, that's not the truth. Jesus could come today. What if all these terrible things begin to manifest themselves? How many Christians would really and truly look up and expect the Lord to come? Or how many would be running around in terror like all the unbelievers? You know, Jesus says that when these things happen, you need to pray, you need to be firm. Notice the words he says there at the end of verse 36. Pray that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. There's the greatest contrast ever right here. I quoted you a little bit of Revelation 6 earlier. Revelation 6:16 says, all these people, the great and the small, the generals, the leaders, the slaves, the poor, the free, everyone will cry out to the rocks, the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Who can stand indeed? Those who are in Christ. What did Jesus tell us when you see these things? Stand up. They can't stand before the judge. We can. We can stand and hold our head high and welcome our Savior. You need to prepare for that day. That day might be today. And the Lord Jesus Christ commands all people everywhere to repent. And he continues graciously, patiently, to call out to people. He sends out his word. He sends people to witness to others. His word is proclaimed today in many places around the world. He graciously offers salvation. He graciously offers people the ability to stand before the judge of all the earth and not cower in fear, to look and to expect and to welcome his coming. But he is coming. And he's coming as the judge of all the earth. We confess it this morning. And the thought of that judgment is horrible and dreadful to wicked and evil people. But it's very pleasant and a great comfort to the righteous. Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming as the judge of the earth. He's coming with great severity to those who do not know him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you have given us this testimony, this prophecy by our Lord Jesus Christ to tell us what to look for, what to expect, and how to stand. Or if there be any who hear this who are unsure, who would find themselves cowering, looking for a mountain to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Lord, we pray that you would move their hearts, change their hearts, Lord. Give them a new heart that they might believe and be saved. And Lord, for your people, Lord, lift our spirits high regardless of what comes upon this world. And there are terrible times coming. Lord, your word tells us that times will grow worse and worse. But as they worsen, Lord, our hope increases because we see the buds on the tree, the promise of your coming. And Lord, we rejoice and stand high, lift our heads high. And Lord, thank you and praise you that you loved us and that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, that we can face this day with the sure and certain hope that only comes to those who have put their faith in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, how we thank you for that. Lord, pray that you'd make us good witnesses of that as we go into the world, as we live our life, we live among all the distractions, dissipation of this age. Lord, help us to be a bright light in a dark place for your glory and your honor. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.